Good morning. This is Leading Age Maryland Tuesday Stand-Up. Today we have Candy Hammer, Improvement Consultant with VHQC. She's going to talk about stopping the chain of infection, strategies for preventing sepsis in long-term care. Candy, take it away.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As she said, I'm going to speak for a few minutes about sepsis and long-term care and some of the strategies to reduce sepsis in your facility. In case any of you are new to VHQC, I'd like to tell you just a 30-second blurb on it. We are a private, nonprofit healthcare consulting firm. They've been Virginia's quality improvement organization since 1984 and now have both Maryland and Virginia. They're very experienced team members of consultants. And anyone needs more information on sepsis, you're free to contact me, and my email address is on that slide. Getting down to business, why sepsis? Why is this important, and why is there so much focus lately on sepsis? And some of the facts you may or may not know is that in the United States, 1 million people a year are diagnosed with sepsis. Up to 50% of those people who get sepsis die. And sepsis is a leading cause of hospital admissions from nursing homes. In addition, mortality rates for sepsis, early sepsis, beginning sepsis, 10 to 20%. When a resident is in severe sepsis, it goes up to 50%. And somebody in septic shock, up to 80%. 500 people a day die in the United States from sepsis, and it's the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. A lot of public awareness has changed. Up until recently, public awareness of sepsis was extremely poor. The death of Patty Duke earlier this summer, and more recently, Muhammad Ali of septic shock, has brought public attention and national news headlines about sepsis, and people are beginning to question, what is it? Why is it so severe? And who does it impact? Some of the things, just some trivial pursuit kind of facts you need to know. Sepsis occurs more frequently in the winter. It appears to be highest in African-American males. And in Maryland alone, our sepsis mortality rate in acute care hospitals has been as high as 30%. Sepsis and C. diff are two of the highest readmission rates in Maryland and across the nation. It's not just a Maryland thing. When we start to think about our residents, we need to think about who's susceptible there. And another interesting fact, patients over 65, actually people over 65, are more susceptible to getting sepsis. Patients who are over 65 in an acute hospital are 60% more likely to develop severe sepsis. People over 65 are 13 times more likely to develop sepsis, twice as likely to die, frequent readmissions to acute care hospital, and if you're over 65 and you reside in a long-term care facility, you are at a higher risk. You know, when you think about that, you think about how many of the residents in a facility are over 65, you're already starting to think about residents and their high susceptibility to sepsis. The one slide in there is just a graph that shows you the efforts in Maryland, in all Maryland hospitals, to reduce sepsis has taken it down as low as 21-22%. And this last quarter is hovering around 24%. And this is the mortality rate of people who are admitted to that acute hospital with a diagnosis of sepsis. So when we start to think about our residents, we need to start with one premise. You can't develop sepsis without an infection. There has to be a source of infection. So some of the symptoms you see with somebody going into sepsis are the kind of symptoms you may see with other conditions. But the important thing to remember here is there has to be a source of infection attached to those. residents where you're beginning to see some signs and symptoms. Frequently, in nursing homes, the most common syndromes that result in sepsis would be someone who has a skin or soft tissue infection, your pressure ulcer. Your residents who are on ventilators, have pneumonia, respiratory, urinary tract is another frequent and probably the most frequent. And then those that have enteritis, some type of GI upset, and C. diff. As I just said in the previous slide, urinary tract is the most common source of a nosocomial infection in a hospital, in a nursing home. And it is one of the most common areas where we get sepsis. And it's not just having a Foley catheter in or having a UTI, but also your residents that have urinary retention, your residents that have stones. Those also are prime situations for an infection to occur. Remember, you must have a source of infection for you to develop sepsis. Gastrointestinal and pulmonary sources are important to know because those residents who get sepsis from a pulmonary gastrointestinal infection have the highest mortality rate. And that's an important for you to think about, especially with the increase we've had in C. diff over the last 15 years. Trying to summarize this a little bit for you as you're thinking about the residents who are at the highest risk, because obviously everybody in your facility, because they're in a nursing home, already is at risk for sepsis, and that's something to think about when you're into your training of your staff. But as we said before, pressure wounds, also a resident that has a diabetic wound or any type of skin infection, a drain. They've come into your facility from the acute hospital, have a drain. Your end-stage COPDers who tend to retain, they have the mucus, they're going to get infections, someone that's vented, all of your respiratory illnesses, and especially during flu season, which is on us right now, some of your residents are going to be more likely to develop a respiratory infection, which then could develop into sepsis. I went over the UTIs and C. diff, and also weakened immune systems, and this is something people don't always think about. But someone who comes into your facility from an acute hospital who has a weakened immune system to start with, they are more susceptible to getting an infection, and once they get it, it can progress very quickly into sepsis. Sepsis is the primary cause of death from infection if it's not recognized quickly and it's not treated promptly. And that's a thing to think about. People die from sepsis from infection more than they die from anything else related to an infection. Resident survival is highly correlated to how quickly you can identify the resident is beginning to develop an infection, potentially going into sepsis, and they get that treatment. So, as we've been saying, all residents in long-term care have an increased risk of sepsis. Just on their age alone, being in a nursing home, and the comorbid conditions that they have, and the potential in your facility for nosocomial infections to be spread. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you teach your staff? I think you need to start off with making sure staff understand a really simple thing. Time is tissue. With sepsis, the longer it goes untreated, the longer there are areas in the body, whether it's limbs or organs, that aren't getting oxygen, and they will die. So time is tissue. The more quickly you get to the resident and begin treatment, the more likely the resident will survive. I believe there's a stat out there that tells you every hour that you delay in treating a resident that's going into severe sepsis, septic shock, the increase in death goes up 8% or so every hour. So implement tools in your facility that are going to help your staff identify those people who are at potential risk. And you can use our tools, the Seeing Sepsis 100 tools, but there's also Interact Test tools. They have the Stop and Watch. You can use SBAR. and ensure your nurses are educated on how to screen for sepsis. To me, number one in a facility is know your residents. The first thing you see early on is a change in mentation, a change in their physical abilities to do something. There is a change, and that's one of the beginning signs that something's happening. If you know your residents and you know their baseline, and you see them beginning to change, they're a little more tired, they don't want to eat, that's when you look. Is there something going on? Is there a source of infection? Your admission assessment is highly important because one of the places where I think we see the biggest risk and the biggest readmission risk is when somebody comes into the hospital or comes in from the hospital to your nursing home and they bounce back in a few days and they've got sepsis or their infection's worse or whatever, is that admission assessment that tells you what's the baseline of this resident, this new resident. What are they capable of doing physically and mentally? If they were known to be communicating well in the institution, they were able to get up, walk, sit up, feed themselves, and suddenly they can't do some of those things. Those are things that say, hey, look, doesn't mean you have sepsis. It just says, hey, look a little bit deeper. You want to raise awareness of your staff to recognize signs and symptoms. The simplest thing we have out there is called the Seeing Sepsis 100 pocket card, and it helps people think about in terms of 100, 100, 100. Do they have a temperature over 100? Is their pulse rate over 100? Is their blood pressure systolic under 100? Are their respirations above 20, 22? If they are, that's a warning sign for a nurse to come in and do an assessment. All your staff out taking care of the residents, whether it's the dietary staff or your GNAs, can be alerted to be aware of some of those things. You want to round on residents. And what some facilities have done that I think is very successful is they've developed a high-risk rounding tool that helps them to identify who's at risk, whether it's the new admission who came in on antibiotics, whether it's your resident who's just gone out and had a procedure. They round on those and look, how's the resident acting today? Is there anything different with that resident? Tools that can help your staff keep the whole idea that sepsis is something that can happen to anybody are some visual aids. There are posters that you can put in break rooms on medication carts, the Seeing Sepsis 100 placard cards that we have. There are training programs. AMDA has them, has a whole set of cards. They're called Know Before You Call. They are a great set of cards. Interact has a great set of tools, and of course, I'm very partial to the ones that we have for the Seeing Sepsis and long-term care. Another thing people don't think enough about is assessing your infection control program. You can't have sepsis without infection. If you know what policies you have, that's great. It's great to know what policies, make sure they're all really good. But what do you practice? Have you implemented those policies? Are the practices in your institution really providing the level of infection control you need to have? CDC has an infection assessment out there. It's a really good one. They published it, I think, December of 15. We've actually taken that and made an online tool that you can go in and do an assessment, a yes or no assessment, to give you a high-level understanding of where are your issues. Remember, you can't have sepsis without infection. And I've said that 10 times. I'll say it 10 more. You can't have it without an infection. Good infection control practices prevents the spread of nosocomial infection and could save some residents' lives. Partner with your acute care hospital. Collaborate, communicate, and share. That's really an important thing because the acute care hospitals are also getting a lot of pressure. If you haven't heard from them, I'm sure you will, that people are looking at the mortality rate. I don't know if you know, but 40% of the total cost in ICUs, and this is a national number, is spent on treating sepsis alone. 40% of ICU cost, sepsis alone. Huge number. I also think sepsis should be a standing agenda item at your medical staff meetings, at your quality and infection control meetings, and certainly something for nurse staff meetings. That's, to me, the really important thing is put it out in the public, make sure your staff's aware, give them tools to help them and resources, and talk about it. Talk about it at your meetings and things like that. I hope I haven't taken up too much time. I'm open for any questions if anyone has any questions. Again, our online communities, and that's in your slides that you have, we have educational programs available there that you can actually take and teach. There's sepsis brochure, all kinds of tools available there that you can look and hope you can access those. Thank you.
Thank you. I've unmuted the line, so if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us for Tuesday Stand Up, Leading Age Maryland. And the call was recorded, so it will be on our website by the end of the day if there are colleagues who you think would be interested who didn't have the opportunity to participate this morning. Thank you so much, and have a great day.